like I'm on you. You gon' hit me up, chasing me like
they gonna see you.
I'm stuck in social media. It seems like you only need me.
She texting me like she deserves a response. She got 100K followers, but 99 buy it. I mean, like,
welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Tweet us your suggestions for movies. Yours is going to be in a few weeks. Join our Discord, Sports Brewery and Discord, the Discord. That is the best way to give your movie suggestions to us. Join the Discord, drop them in there. It's good stuff. Twitch.tv/abrog87 if you want to watch us do the sports podcast live every Thursday. If you hit the follow button, it'll tell you when we go live, and then you just click a link and it takes you to it, and you can join the chat and give us your list and all that good stuff. Movie this week is Ski's movie, and it is The Baker. It is on Hulu, and it came out in 2022, has a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.9 on IMDb, and does not have a Metacritic score because there have not been enough reviews of this movie to have a Metacritic score. That's what it said on Metacritic. Major League 2 wasn't even on Metacritic, so I don't know what that means. Anyway, but this movie stars Ron Perlman as Poppy or Pappy?
I think it's Pappy.
Pappy.
I think it's Pappy, too.
There's two keys.
They never actually say his name, though. That's just the name of the bakery.
Yeah, kind of like Nick Cage in Willy's Wonderland. Yeah. Mystery character. Yeah. Harvey Keitel plays Merchant. Elias Koteas plays Vic. Joel David Moore plays Peter. Emma Ho plays Delphi. And Varun Saranga plays Manny. Elias Koteas, you will recognize. It actually took me a second. I was like, where do I know that fucking guy from? And then you look up his IMDb, and he is Casey Jones in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I don't think I've seen him in much since then, but
recognize him from the hit like NBC show, Chicago PD.
He's on that? Are you sure that's not the other guy? The Chris Maloney?
I think he was. No, Maloney is on like SVU or some shit like that.
Yeah, I was like, let's not mix him up with the glorious Chris Maloney.
It might as well be the same person, though. Always just play brooding people.
Kinda. Movie written by Paolo Mancini and Thomas Michael, who also wrote a movie called Bloodshed. And that's like pretty much it. Mancini's also in this movie. He played the dirty co-op who
fucking co-op.
He's a co-op
who dimed out Pappy to the bad guys.
At least this makes sense to me now, because the police characters were the most obsolete characters you could have in a movie. They didn't do anything.
Nope.
So I could see it now. It makes sense that, I need to get myself in this movie. Let's get some cops in there that have nothing to do with the actual story.
If you look at his IMDb page, you will see that he is actually in a lot of the movies that he has written and been a part of. Yeah. So, yep. That must be part of his deal. He's like, I also get to play a part in this movie. Yeah. No, like, because even the main cop, like, all she really did was like shoot a couple of bad guys in the hospital. And that was pretty much it.
Shot one bad guy that was chasing the girl.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Movie directed by Jonathan Sobel, who also directed The Padre. Have you heard of The Padre? Because this sounds like a future Ski movie.
Manny Machado?
Nope. So The Padre? Which stars Nick Nolte, Luis Guzman, and
Evan
Tim
Brown.
Roth. Like, on board, man. And a movie called...
What year? Like a recent movie?
Yeah, it's pretty recent. Yeah. And a movie called The Art of the Steal with Kurt Russell.
If you didn't see Kurt Russell, I would have thought that was a 2020 election movie.
With Kurt Russell and Lagatha from Vikings. She's also in that. So, yeah.
Probably good.
Yeah. So he's got a good track record of movies kind of exactly like this. So, yeah. No budget or box office information for this movie is available at this time. So I don't know. I don't know that it ever will be or that anybody.
This must be like a Hulu original movie.
I don't know that it is because
I don't know what it is either, but I have no box office or any. Usually they do if it.
I think it was on Netflix for a while, too. So, like, I don't know. I feel like this was just made somehow and has just sort of bounced around hoping somebody will watch it.
It's a money laundering movie.
It's hoping that somebody like Ski will notice it and then make other people watch it. That's exactly what's happening.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's happened here.
I mean, I only picked it because it seemed like, I guess we'd call it a prequel from his, the retirement plan movie with Cage we watched. His character seemed eerily similar.
It's exactly the same movie, Ski. It is exactly the same.
But it's a prequel to his character from that movie.
I like that. Yeah. I was going to say that, too, by the way. Listener, like, go back in the archives and find the retirement plan. The Nick Cage movie we talked about. Ron Perlman also in that movie. It is the same movie, you guys. I think
this one was done better.
I think it was, too. I do too. I was going to say, and I think Perlman was better in this than Cage was in that. I think, I know, that's a big statement, but yeah, I don't know. King doesn't like it.
You're very down on Nick Cage. Just
I'm never down on Nick Cage. Never.
I'm not calling you a hater. I'm not calling you a hater. You downplay him sometimes.
I think this is actually his overwhelming love. Is the thing? It's his love for Perlman, not his disdain for Cage.
I do love me some Ron Perlman. I remember being very like sort of disappointed with the retirement plan, just because like it was like maybe the worst I've seen him, and I was like, oh, I don't want to have this. Like, this can't be my memory of Ron Perlman. Let's watch Hellboy and just like flush that. Like, yeah.
That's what happens when you're only in the movie for like 15 or 20 minutes. It's not his movie like this. Yeah. He like gave it his all for this one.
He did. Yeah. And by the way, like props to him for all the action he did in this movie. Cause you know, he's old as shit and like clearly very out of shape and was doing some like pretty decent fight scenes. So
I think you're giving a lot of credit to his stunt guys right here. It sounds like, and not him.
And the director too, because like that scene in the bread truck or whatever, like the fight scene in the back of the truck was fucking awesome. Like that was, that was really really cool. So
sure, I will say that we missed that in the retirement plan because Cage was just shooting people. Yeah. Perlman didn't have a gun; he was just using his fucking giant catcher mitt fucking hands to break people's necks and just kill them.
And then the kicking the Ukrainian boss while in the bathroom, like into the wall, like Jesus Christ, like huge catcher's mitt hands. He's also got catcher's mitts on his feet. Yeah. Just destroying people. That would suck getting punched by Ron Perlman, I think, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of a big guy.
Why is he so big?
That's a good question. I don't know.
He's freakishly big.
He is. Yeah.
Did no one give him a basketball when he was a child?
I want to see a basketball in his hand.
You're telling me he couldn't have been Will Perdue?
Bill Cartwright? I mean, it's there. He's there.
Yeah. Luke Longley? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Yeah. What was he doing in the 70s and 80s?
Drugs.
Oh, yeah. All right. So Joel David Moore also in this movie for a little bit. He, you might remember from Grandma's Boy as Adios Turd Nuggets. Yeah, that guy.
What a line.
So good. I mean, literally, I just brought him up just so I could say that line.
That's great. No, I appreciate it. I haven't heard that in a while.
How did they see me? So good. Yeah, so he plays the son of the baker, and essentially he gets in over his head with some drugs, and the merchant and Vic, and is trying to make money on the drugs that he ended up with, and leaves his daughter with Ron Perlman to like watch for like a day, which is a pretty like, you know, it's weird in that we later find out in the movie there's this French neighbor, right? Like this woman who has a couple kids of her own and sometimes watches Delphi when he works late, right? So like, why not just have Delphi stay the night there as opposed to going to your dad, who you apparently haven't seen in like 15 years or whatever?
Oh, he had to get out of town because he had all the drugs at the time.
Sure.
So I think you take her and you go.
So is that the idea? Just like get the kid out of the house? Okay.
I was very confused on the timeline of that scene because we see him take her out of school.
Yeah.
And then somehow like 2 days pass for him just to drive down there and then drive back to the city.
Yeah.
It seemed like they're living in Miami and he lived like just outside of it. I don't know why it took so long to do all these driving.
Wait, so you're talking about when the son leaves?
He leaves Delphi with him. No, they're eating like breakfast there with him. And then all of a sudden he's driving through the night to get back to Miami.
Yeah. So how far away were they from
Miami?
That's
what I'm
to where. Yeah. No, and then he gets killed in the house. So his house. So okay. So I think I figured it out now. So they lived in Miami.
Yes.
He drove to his dad, the baker, who lives somewhere else. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had it like pictured in my head that they're in the same city.
Because it all takes place, like it seems like they're right there, but yeah.
It seems like it is, right? Yeah, okay.
They made it weird just with the timeline of, the night and day and shit like that. So the real question is, like, let's say you guys were in his shoes. You guys find a duffel bag full of a bunch of drugs. What's your move?
I steal one brick and give the rest away to the authorities.
To the authorities. But how do you move that brick? So that's his problem.
Oh, I just use it. I just self-consumption. Oh, I'm not selling it.
You're not selling it. Oh, all right. Personal use.
Personal use.
I kill myself on cocaine. Like, what do you mean, Ski? Like, I'm sorry. Like, is there another option here?
I mean, I feel like you can't take it all. You will end up getting killed.
Yes.
Like, case in point of this movie, yes.
Yes. But
But let's say you wanted to... Let's say you wanted a brick to yourself, but you also want some money too, right? You want to live it up with your brick of cocaine. I mean, you do what he did, right? He went to his guy that he buys drugs from and says, hey, you want to buy this off me? I mean, that has to be your move, right?
I think we all, as a society, have watched too many movies when it comes to this. Because I think if you are trying to move that amount of drugs, the chances of you coming across the person who lost the drugs is like way higher than you actually selling the drugs. You know, like you can like portion it out, I guess, and like go under the train tracks and sell drugs if you want to do it that way. But that's not how we want to do it. We want to get it out of our possession and get money as soon as possible. Yeah.
It is the hard question. So let's say it's not blow. Let's say it's like stepped on crank that you don't want to do, but you're not just going to turn that in, are you? You're going to find a way to sell that, and that's the hard part. It's like, how do
who
you
am I selling crank to?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to find someone that buys it all from you. That's the hard part.
In mass quantities, exactly. This is like impossible to do, Ski.
I that's why I think this was a realistic movie in that sense. The only person he knows is the guy he buys drugs from. So he says, how do I get rid of these drugs to get money? I talk to the guy that sells drugs, and I would do the same exact thing if I had a drug dealer.
And the guy that sells him drugs knows where the drugs came from and narked him out to the guy. And you know what? The guy ended up at his house and killed him because of it.
Yeah, that is the outcome, I would say, most often than not.
Always, especially if you have bags of clothes that you try to give him instead of drugs. That's also
if you got shitheel fucking daughters taking your drugs out of your bag.
So, okay.
She killed her dad. Let's
just
say that.
Got a question. So, did Delphi steal the drugs and put them in the bag, or did the dad do that? Because the dad seemed genuinely shocked, like when the clothes were in the bag.
I showed that she went in the car and looked in the bag, and then we got us. Yeah.
Oh, I think I missed that.
She was all pissed off because she didn't want to stay with Pearlman. She wanted to stay with her dad. So she went, threw on her headphones and went in the back seat and fiddled around with the bag.
So it assumed that she swapped. Okay. Out. I missed that part. So yeah, she killed her dad.
Killed her dad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a horrible child.
I know. God.
Yeah. Simba did the same and recovered.
It's true. That's true. Yeah. How much money would you pay to have Ron Perlman read you bedtime stories?
I don't know if he's even in my top five.
Yeah?
Probably not.
Okay.
Top 10, though, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, I think this is just too Ron. I think Ron Perlman just reads a lot of books. So I said that was his character in the retirement. He was always reading with the kid in it. You know, yeah. Like, here's a book you should read.
Same character. Movie, yeah.
He's sitting there just in his old man chair, just reading his book. I think that's just Perlman on set. Like, I'm reading books, so try to work this in.
That's why he signs up for movies now.
Yes.
Do you guys read books?
Yeah. I read books. No,
not really.
I got a couple books over there right now. Huh. I'm reading Piranesi is the book I'm reading right now.
Hmm.
I mean, is it cheating for audiobooks? I mean, it's the same thing, right?
Well, that's not reading.
I know, but it's the same thing. It's the words from the book getting.
Yeah, it's just like listening to a podcast. I mean, you know.
I'm into it, though. Like, I see where you're coming from, because you're getting more from the book than probably a podcast that you listen to.
Yeah, so they're reading it word. They're reading the book word for word. It's just they're doing it instead of me.
Yeah, it's not reading. It's listening.
I know, but it's. That book is getting.
Are you? Do you listen to audiobooks?
No, I don't.
Okay. So ski. No,
is he very passionate for a second about?
I'm just saying this is just a hypothetical.
No is the answer to your question.
How many Kindles do you own?
Kindles.
Yeah. Are those still a thing?
Been a while.
I bet you they are. Yeah. But if you walk into a Best Buy, you'll find mega Kindles.
Those are the things we gave our kids before we gave them iPads that we could trust them with. We gave them Kindle Fires for like $75 on Amazon.
Yeah, because they're dirt cheap.
Yep.
And they were trash.
Yes.
Not good at all. Yeah. No, but they were exactly what like our Cheeto Finger kids needed.
Yes.
Like to play the fucking, to play Angry Birds on.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah. Angry Birds. And there was another one that was like this alligator who would like cut like water streams and stuff and try to.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah. I forget
what it's
called.
Why were those birds so fucking angry? Easy there, birds.
Did you watch the movie?
I definitely did not watch
the movie. Do you watch movies, Ski? Man.
Not from Furious Birds, I don't.
Do you see what I did? See what I did? Because on Thursday.
Spun it right into his face.
Because on Thursday, I don't watch sports. And now, Ski, do you?
Oh, I got it. I was there.
Ski, do you like movies? See what I did? Okay. All right.
Cool. On a movie podcast.
Cool,
I got it.
Cool. All right. I did. So, again, I think this is sort of like a new genre of movie that sort of started happening around like 5 or 6 years ago. Where it's like sort of these like lower budget action movies that where like these used to be like, you know, straight to DVD sort of like trash movies that nobody watched other than Ski. And like nobody, like they weren't good, like the quality wasn't very good. But I think recently they sort of turned and like, because I think this movie is good, and
still
you know there's like that Cell Block 99 movie or whatever with Vince Vaughn that's like it's like that too. It's like this low budget movie that nobody knows about that is like badass. It's got like badass action in it. It's got like a pretty simple story that like you don't need to think very much to watch, and you just sit, you shut your brain off for a while and watch a dumb movie with some like good action.
You're just describing those movies in the 80s and 90s. The only difference now is that you're getting higher quality people to be in them.
Yes. Higher quality, cinematography, action is better.
It's better, but it's not. It's just with the times. If those movies in the 80s are being made now, it would be the same thing.
I think the difference is less slow motion in these movies.
Well, that's how they had to do back then.
Because all those movies in the 80s had like the really slow motion, like, and then it'd be like the shimmering sound effect or whatever. Like the
They didn't have CGI in the 80s good enough from Dudikoff to catch an arrow in midair and then sling it back at the guy.
I'm pretty sure I saw Hot Shots Part Due, and I think they did that in the 80s, late 80s. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and I think the arrow was a chicken, maybe.
If they can shoot an olive out of a belly button, then they can do a...
It's definitely a chicken in the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Bow and chicken, yeah. Was that actually in the movie, or was that just like the...
I feel like that was just the movie poster.
I think it was too, yeah.
I don't think that was in the movie.
I don't remember it in the movie, but I remember the visual of it for sure.
Boy, that Sheen era, baby. Ooh, good stuff.
Prime Sheen.
Why did we watch the second one for this fucking podcast?
Because we went over it. We thought we remembered it as being better and good.
No, we remembered stuff that we thought was in the first one was actually in the first one. Yeah, that's right.
We combined the two to assume it was a good movie, but it was just some mildly good things split.
Really, really bad. Yeah. Again, the difference between that movie and Dispensables? Is that what they're called? Expendables?
Expendables? The one with Stallone?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, I was
Statham
blanking.
And
I was blanking,
the guy
man.
From Frasier.
I feel shame. But the difference between...
Kelsey Grammer's in one of them.
Yeah, he's in one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Difference between
all salad and scrambled eggs. There comes a dope shot.
Grenade launcher.
Would have been better if Niles was in the Expendables for some reason.
It would have been.
And Roz. If Roz was in
Roz.
It.
Frasier's dad would have been a good. They're just doing crimes by shoving people's heads into propellers. And he just stands up from a recliner.
Yeah,
Sly, you did it again. I just painted, and then he looks to the crowd.
That's what we need moving forward with the Expendables movies.
We need the
Frasier cast. We need like Mad About You. We need Wings.
For Paul Reiser
week.
Hey, Wings could work.
Get Tim Daly out there.
Tim Daly, like, Steven Weber. They're in. Tony Shalhoub.
Tony
Shalhoub is available, guys.
Yes.
Go find him.
Thomas Hayden Church.
In.
Again. In. Again. Do we need to keep going on? Like, that's a fucking stellar cast.
And Roy. I don't even know his name. Just Roy Biggins.
Roy. Oh. Sandpiper air. So much hijinks.
I forget what I was talking. Oh, yeah. So... The difference between Hot Shots Part Due and Expendables is like just quality, right? Like they're both the same essential shitty plot and movie, but like one is a
spoof, the other is a highly rated.
You almost said intelligent. No. Yes.
First two, yes.
Did we finish watching those?
No, God, no.
We haven't seen the newest one.
Yeah, okay. When does that come out? It's got to be soon, right?
It's been out. I think it's streaming somewhere. Yeah, I think so.
Ski, do your job, man. What are we doing here? Are we trying to be completionists or not?
I got stuck on... I had two movies this week. One was an 80s titty comedy, and the other one was this. And I saved you guys from the 80s titty comedy.
Yeah, I feel saved. I hate boobs.
Would hate to see those.
Yeah, they're the worst.
I mean, it was ski school. I mean, that's
it's perfect.
Ski school. Oh my god, what a flick.
It's so good.
What a flick.
That and ski school too. I mean, just
doesn't that have like Zach Galifianakis in it or something?
You're thinking of Out Cold. That was in the 90s.
How could I mess that up?
This is with Dave. I don't even know his name. I just know his name is Dave. And Will Sasso was in one of them.
Of course. Are you sure he wasn't in both? Are you sure he wasn't in both of them?
I know he wasn't in both.
Okay.
I do have a question of what was Perlman? Was he a hitman or was he like a black ops kind of military guy?
Well, I get the sense he used to be what Vic was. Like, because he clearly knew who the merchant was. And the merchant knows who he is. So he went in there, sat down and was like, you know, like they knew each other. So I definitely get the sense that he used to work for the merchant and was sort of like his enforcer guy.
But all his information and stuff was like redacted by like the military kind of stylings.
That's true.
I didn't think maybe they were black ops together when they got out. He went.
And he had like he knew all those like different languages, like he spoke Ukrainian and French, like
because they don't do a very good job of. They do have some flashbacks when he's like dreaming, but that's it, and you can't really tell. He's just sitting there like he's killed a bunch of guys.
He almost passes out from blood loss like 30 times in this movie. Like
the good thing I will say for Ron Perlman in his movies is he gets the shit kicked out of him like people would if they did this.
That's true. Yeah. You know, like we do see that a lot in movies, how guys get punched in the face and it sort of, they just like roll with it. Like getting punched in the face, like hurts a lot and it like swells up and bruises and you bleed a lot. Yeah. Like, especially if you're not used to it, I guess he's sort of used to it, but even then, like,
I mean, half this movie was Perlman standing in front of a mirror, like blotting blood off him.
It was.
I mean,
yeah.
There was three separate scenes of that.
Like half of the movie is him like walking really slowly and almost passing out from blood loss and then him sewing himself up.
There was so much slow walking in this movie.
Yeah. I think he just walks slow.
Well, he does, but he could cut that time down a little bit in editing there.
You think he's a good grandpa? I think he kind of is, right? Like for a guy who like had the grandkid like dumped on him and, you know, like had to sort of figure it out, you know?
Well, they pretty much said that he like didn't raise his kid either.
Yeah. Tries to like, which we didn't really get the backstory of that either. Like, we don't know what happened to his ex-wife. I assume ex-wife. We don't know why he became estranged from his son. All we have is like that memory of them looking for mushrooms and him just sitting there. And that was kind of weird. It would have been nice to have like a little bit of explanation of that.
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, unneeded, but yeah, it would have been helpful.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you could even shoehorn in like a tragedy with his ex-wife, right? Like you could say like, oh, she also died in a car accident. Look, we're relating. Grandkid.
I think that would be helpful too to get some dialogue in there when you have a character that says three words at the very end of the movie.
It's rough. That's rough.
How shitty would it be that girl? It's like, all right, I got my break. I'm in a movie. I'm starring in a movie with Ron Perlman and I say nothing.
I like this song. That's it. Yeah. At the end of the movie. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate for her.
She was good. She was fine.
That says no words. Yeah.
But again, like those are the words she says in the movie when like several points it's life or death. Like she's in a life or death situation. She needs to tell somebody, like ask for help, like, you know, whatever. And she won't talk, like, you know, like, I know she went through some trauma. I know why she's not talking, but, you know, like, life and death's probably when you break that, right? I mean, I don't know.
Right. Just a help. Just
I'm not a child psychologist, so maybe I shouldn't comment on this. But
an old Sigmund Freud over here trying to break down this little girl's trauma.
Ski, sit on my couch for a minute. Yeah.
You gotta get your glasses on. Not hitting the same.
I don't even know where they are. I'm blind. All right. Ski, this is your movie.
Yeah, it is.
What's it out of this week?
Are we grading it?
The only other thing I could say is Keitel was good for like the 3 minutes he was in it.
Yeah.
Classic Keitel.
Okay. So the way we've been talking about this movie, it probably sounds like we like don't like this movie and it's a bad movie. Like I watched it and I enjoyed it. Like again, it goes back to my point where they're making these movies nowadays like this, where they don't require a lot of effort. You just sit there and watch somebody you like. So again, they're getting big stars or like, you know, previous stars from like the past in these movies. And they're like, here's some cool action. Here's a person you like. Here's a simple plot you don't have to think about too much. And that's it. And it's like an hour and a half. You good? See, I'm good.
I will fight against you a little bit because, like I said, if this was made 10 years ago, maybe 12, 15 years ago, this would have been a Scott Adkins movie. And with Scott Adkins in it, then you bump up the fighting and all
that.
You're
not wrong. You're not wrong.
That's the only difference because, like you said, it's probably similar budgeted.
Yeah.
In the similar, you know, plot to a movie that he would have done.
We don't have these movies without those Scott Adkins movies, though, because those were like super under the radar, and then people started watching them and spreading the word, like word of mouth, with Scott Adkins movies and Michael Jai White movies and all that stuff. White, like it's like, hey, these
Stone
movies
Cold are, Steve Austin movies.
These movies are fucking rad. Like you should watch these movies. And then because these start growing in popularity, then you get buy-in from people like Ron Perlman and Nick Cage and stuff, and then you can actually.
We've never done one of these movies either.
Yeah.
How's no one picked a Scott? Next time I'm picking a Stone Cold Steve Austin movie.
I might see if I can find an Adkins movie myself for next or in a couple weeks. We'll see. Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck finding that.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point. All right. Yeah, we can grade this.
That's what we say. Out of five this week? So I heard.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let you pick because it's your movie. So.
All right, I'll go with five then.
Okay.
I am with you though, where this movie did exactly what it had to do with who was in it and the writing and everything. So I'll give it a 2.75.
Ooh.
I think it was kind of right down the middle of not bad, not great, just kind of right there.
Yeah, I like 2.5. Like it's not bad. It's not really good. It's okay. Like I think the fact that they got the people they got for this movie like elevates it quite a bit. So like I think if it's not Perlman, Keitel, that Kotias guy, like I think it's probably like a 1.5, but it is. And so they're good. Like they're good actors in these simple dumb roles. So
Casey Jones was a little too brooding for me though. I mean,
This movie was about two, like, it's like the story of two haunted hitmen, you know, like who are like trying to overcome their past or whatever.
One that got out, but yeah.
Yeah. One that got out, but still like has nightmares and the other who's still in and still has nightmares. Right. Yeah. Yeah. What you got, brother?
I'm giving it a 2. I'm not as big on Perlman as you guys and Harvey Keitel. I mean, get over yourself. Seriously. You were in The Irishman, Harv. Like, I'm a serious actor. Let me be CGI. I wear 9-inch lifts like every other actor in The Irishman. Oh, I'm a thespian, man.
Did they CGI Harv?
I don't think so.
I know De Niro. Yeah, I think it might have just been De Niro.
I mean, the best movie he was in was The Rising Sun, Connerly and Snipes. Let's just be real.
Reservoir Dogs is pretty good too.
No, not better. Not better.
I mean, he was in Little Nicky. Come on, King. Don't forget Little Nicky.
What do you mean you don't like Harvey Keitel? He's the best actor in the world.
Did you call Harvey Keitel a lesbian, by the way?
No, but he could be.
Okay. Oh, thespian. Oh, yeah, thespian.
You would be the little spoon, though, for sure.
He totally would. Yeah. I mean, he could be like a... Yeah, never mind.
Oh, he was in Clockers. I missed that.
Clockers, yeah.
Just imagining cuddling scenarios. I mean, he was also in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, overrated.
Yeah.
That scene in the cafe where they're dancing and the adrenaline of the heart. Ah, get over it.
For he is my brother, keeper of love, and you will know my name is the Lord. Ah,
get over yourself, Sam.
No.
I love that you've called Harvey Keitel Harv and Samuel L. Jackson Sam.
Sammy.
Shut up, Harv.
I think I might be with you, though, King, that Rising Sun is his best.
Well, it's a great flick.
That it may be like Copland.
No, Copland. Is that
Stallone?
Stallone, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that and Copland are his two best movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, good.
You want to know what, Harv? You're back in the game.
He's back, baby.
You're back Copland.
God, now I need to go find Copland.
I do need to find Copland.